Southern Africa. You are in preparation stage. The Lord has called you to declare the good news of the gospel to the people of Southern Africa. In the same way that Paul was called to the Gentiles, you have been called to the Zulu people. Your time to preach is coming. Be prepared. The service that you are doing now is preparing. It's building the foundation for what God has called you to. Why don't you stretch your hands out to Zama right now? Holy Spirit, we release the commissioning of God over this man. Thank you that there are very few faithful hearts as this man. Thank you that we have found a faithful heart as this man. We just praise you for him. We thank you, Lord, for him. We pray you would protect him while he serves in this job at HCC. We thank you for the gift that he is to us, and we pray your protection over him. And Lord, we thank you that there is so much more to come in his future. There is greatness over his life to preach the gospel and to see thousands converted to the message of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If I could ask those that are serving tonight to please come up and grab the bags. Thank you. Bless you guys. Hope you're ready to give. Good. Steve is ready to give. One of you. Well, at least we'll get something in the offering bag tonight. Amen. More petrol for your boat. I'm buying a boat after this morning's sermon. As long as I come to church on a Sunday, that's fine. So I can have a helicopter, a Lamborghini. Hey, thank you. I'll take that as a yes. Hallelujah. Whoa. Amen. Bless you as you give. Thanks, guys. You can go for it. Dave Betts, come on up here. You have a little bit. No, you got a nice chunk of time. So if you want to tell us a bit about yourself, I'm sure you can do a better job than I can. So, thanks for preaching tonight.
Wonderful. Oh, I'm sitting down for the first bit because when you play the piano, you stand on one leg and operate the pedal. So this leg has now gone to sleep. So that's why I sit down and play the piano a lot, because anyway, you don't need to know that. We've got some notes that we're going to give out, so quite organized today. T, have you got those notes for me? Teresa, have you got those notes? Notes. She's having a full-on conversation and just carrying on. All right. How many of you tonight were notes? What do you call them in this place? Paper. It's notes, isn't it? She's just taking up money notes here. Who's got dreams? I got dreams. Who's got dreams that haven't yet happened? Haven't yet happened. Wonderful. I want to talk straight off the back of Andrew's talk last week about dreams, desires, and destinies. Dreams, desires, and destinies. There's a brilliant piece of scripture in Proverbs, and if you guys can remember where it is, it'll be really helpful. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, and from it flow all issues of life. Anyone know where that is? Proverbs 4:18. What do you say after me? Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Okay, would you stand up for me, please? Put your hand on your heart. Would you say this after me? I must guard my heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Turn to the person next to you and say, you must guard my heart, because it is the wellspring of my life. Let me just say this to you very clearly. There is a war going on for your heart. It started the minute you were born, and it will continue to the day you die. And you are at war right now, ladies and gentlemen, because if the devil can steal the dreams and the desires and the passions of your heart, he will remove the joy and the strength that is within you. Because if you do not guard your heart, then the wellspring of life cannot come out. And you can stand in as much glory as you like, but Monday morning will be as boring as it ever was. Because the onus is for you to understand that you are at war. And you've got to fight for your heart. Grab a seat. 4:23. Guard your heart. If there's two scriptures in the Bible, that would be one of the top ones I would highlight. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. I can't tell you how much a message about the war for your heart is so powerful for you. You just need to understand that you're at war. And the problem with the grace message is we've lost the understanding that we still are at war. Jesus has done all of it. I love this scripture. It's not a scripture. It's a saying, the victory is mine, but the battle is the Lord's. But I want you to understand that every single day of our lives, we are at war for our hearts. And my life is a life of war. And I'm sure if we were to talk to all of you, you've all got stories where your heart was engaged in warfare. I was going to play a song by John Mayer, which is called Heartbreak Warfare. If you ever get a chance, listen to John Mayer's song, Heartbreak Warfare. It's a prophetic song about people who have dreams and then those dreams never come true. I can't, because it won't do him justice. But I'll play it for you one of these days. Maybe Gary can find John Mayer, Heartbreak Warfare, and play it towards the end for me. Gravestones and locked doors. I get to talk to a lot of people in a lot of places. And if we are honest, when we dig deep, their lives or their hearts are gravestones and locked doors. Gravestones and locked doors. Gravestones where people have said words to you about your dreams that have caused them to die. And we've erected a monument. I used to dream about. I used to talk about. I used to feel when gravestones. Or other people just feel that everywhere they go, they just face locked doors. And you've given up trying to pursue your dream because of locked doors. I want you to take a moment and I want you to share a dream that you feel has been squashed in your life. I want you to find someone next to you or around you and say, this was a dream I used to have, but I don't find myself talking about that dream anymore. Go for it. What dream do you have that you're not talking about anymore? You can go right back to when you were a five-year-old. I used to want to be a fireman, and then I decided that wasn't cool for me. Take a moment. Take a moment. What dreams have you safely locked behind doors, afraid that someone might find out? What dreams have you safely locked behind doors and you hope no one would find out? Think about that for a moment. You know when a dream's behind a closed, locked door because we keep it to ourselves and we hope that God will tell the right person. Sometimes faith requires some hints. Did you know that? Here's a question for you. What holds dreams back? Anyone want to throw an answer? What holds dreams back? People? What else? Fear? Busyness? Doubt? What else? Lack of resources? Yep. What holds dreams back? Money? Sharing your dream? You've read my notes. Locked doors. John 10:10 says this, A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you could ever dream of. The Living Bible. Let me read that to you again. The thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have real life, eternal life, more and better life than you can ever have dreamed of. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love that scripture in Ephesians? It says he is immeasurably able to do more than you can ever think or imagine or dream of. I just want to stir something up. Your dreams are too small. They're just little goals. I love this thing of however big God is the limitation factor of your dreams. And the more you understand about God, the bigger your dreams get. True? But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your heart is the battleground. Do you see that? So let's talk about those dreams and unlocking those things. So I decided that I was going to go plant a church. And the moment God spoke to me about planting a church, the moment that happened, I was whisked back to an event that took place when I was 17 years of age. I was playing the piano in a meeting, and this pastor came and prophesied over me that I would be involved in leading. At the end of that meeting, I was packing the PA away, and this other leader in the church came to me and said, "You don't want to listen to that word, because really, you couldn't lead anything." Nice gentleman with the gift of encouragement. And I thought that that word, I just dismissed it, laughed it off. You know, he's a bit of a fill in the gaps. I didn't say it. And I thought it didn't affect me at all until God spoke to me years later, and then bang, that word came back to me. Anyone had that happen to you? Something that someone said you thought you dismissed, and then God said something and bang, that came straight back to you. But we decided that we're going to plant this church. An amazing thing was we said, "Well, God, we want a sign. Is this the right place to plant?" So we're on this thing called Church Planters, and we go to this place called Bryanston, which is this hole in Johannesburg. And we're in this church in Bryanston. And they said, "So where are you going to plant a church?" And we said, "We're going to plant it in a place called Crawley," thinking no one would know where Crawley is in England. And three girls jump up, all excited, saying they're on holiday from Crawley. And they've been praying for a church plant to start there. Isn't that amazing? So God started to stir dreams within Kerry and I about church planting and missions and stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you the story as we go through the preach, because hopefully it's going to unlock some of you guys into the destiny God has for you tonight. So I had this dream when I was 12, and I went to an Assemblies of God church, and it was a church that had pews. And the pastor would preach in the crow's nest right up there. And the organ was on one side and the piano was on the other side. Do you, everyone be in church like that? Yep. And we sang one hymn, prayer, another hymn. Then we had the offering. He's nodding because we've been there. And I remember that they had balustrades around the church. They had 736 balustrades. I counted them every week. And I remember sitting there, if I ever was going to plant a church, God, it was going to look more like a pub than this place. It's this pact that we maybe got. And so I had this dream starting to birth in me of a church where you walk in and there's this buzz and there's loud music and people just knew your name and you just immediately felt inspired as you walked in, and the music was loud and the deaf heard every week. And I just had this dream about church. And so the journey went on, and that we ended up planting this church in Crawley. And the amazing thing about Crawley was that we arrived, we didn't know anybody there, and we met this couple, and they said, "Come stay in a home." And when we stayed in a home, within a month or so, church had grown to a good number. And I'm telling you this story because there's one other event. Now I had this vision. There's 25 of us in this room, and I had this vision for a 1,000-seater auditorium in the middle of Crawley. Now, I've got 25, so now I'm dreaming for a 1,000-seater. Thank God, wouldn't that be great? So I'm sitting at traffic lights, you call them robots, and there in front of me was this gala bingo hall right there in the center of the town. And God said to me, so how big's your faith? So I said, not that big. So we started to pray about it. And we went for a walk in the bingo hall. And it was just like someone had switched the lights off. There were still half full beer glasses on the bar. And the dream I had when I was 12, as I walked in, there were two bars, a dance room, a dance with a ball in the middle, a stage, a dancing area, a bar, pub. It was a pub in the church with a dance. So we said to the guys, how much do you want? And they said, we want £120,000 a month and £30,000 rates a month. Put that into rands. 1.3 million a month. So we said no. And short story, they settled on £12,000 a month and paid the rates for us. And so for how many years were we in there, babe? 5 years? Yeah. For 5 years, Gala Bingo Hall subsidized our church by £90,000 a month and paid the rates. I'm telling you the story because the dreams when you're a 12-year-old link up to the words you have when you're 22, and then God comes through for you if you don't let go of your dream. And we walked into that room. By the time we got eventually in there, we were about 80 strong into a 1,000-seater auditorium and grew the church to 600 or so. And it was just a glorious experience of dreams becoming realities. There it was in the center of the town. And it's a wonderful time because the taxi drivers, it became a story that anyone wanted help. The only church the taxi drivers knew about was Gateway Church on the high street. So they would drop people off who they thought needed church at our doors. It's quite an amazing story. So I'm telling you some of this stuff because you've had dreams when you were 12, and God hasn't forgotten those dreams, and he's hooking them up with events that you're going through now, and he hasn't forgotten them. But the question is, have you forgotten them? Have you let the enemy rob your heart? Are you with me on this? Dreams. Proverbs 13:12. Won't you turn there, or if you've got your notes, you've got them on there. Proverbs 13:12. Dreams in our hearts give us inspiration for life. How many of you sometimes don't feel inspired? Anyone not feel inspired sometimes? Dreams is the inspiration. When you lose your inspiration, what's actually happening is you've lost your dream. Life has got too busy and your world has become too small. Anyone feel that your world is small? Someone feels claustrophobic because life is just pushing in? Proverbs 13, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when dreams come true at last, there is life and joy. New Living Bible. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. How many people have been waiting, 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 and nothing, 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 nothing? Kind of like the Queen Mother's feeling at the moment. That was an English joke. You know, God's prophesied millions, and you look at your bank account every month, and it goes, you must be joking. Anyone had those experiences? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and there are sick-hearted people here. So I want to breathe life into sick-hearted people tonight. So we need to stir up those dreams, stir up those things that happened when you were 14. Anyone ever been on a fast? Praise God, grace came, and I don't do that anymore. I munch with a whole bunch of other things, but we won't go there. Anyone been on a fast? Brilliant. There's nothing to show desire greater than when you fast. When you're fasting, you can look at a horrible 3-day-old chicken mayonnaise sandwich. And it is the most desirable thing on the planet. Has anyone been there? You start drooling the whole thing. Like, you ever been there? Praise God for grace, eh? Amen. No more dried up chicken mayonnaise sandwiches. But desire, so dreams is the inspiration. Desire is the motivation. So first you've got to have a dream to be inspired. But then you have to turn the dream into a desire which becomes motivation. So in our family, we are highly motivated to eat chocolate. In fact, it's the only thing that gets my sons off the couch into the kitchen to get the chocolate is chocolate. Because desire motivates them. It's true. I love this saying, the proof of desire is in pursuit. If anyone ever said to you, I really desire to be there, but they never come, tell them they're a liar. Because the evidence of desire is in pursuit. So people tell you they want to come and they don't come, phone them up the next day and say, I'm accusing you of being a dirty, stinking liar. True. Someone told me the other day that they miss us. In fact, today, someone said, oh, so-and-so misses you, but they're sorry they haven't kept up with you. So I said, well, they don't miss me then. True, isn't it? So, what do you desire? Because you'll end up getting exactly what you desire. So, look at your life now, and it's the sum of your desire. How many of you want to have better desires? Now, I'm wearing a Harley Davidson shirt because I don't have a Harley Davidson. Because faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Exactly. How many of you got BMW key rings but don't own a BMW? Stir up desire in you. Stir up desire. Stir up desire. If you not got a good hunger, talk about stuff that makes you hungry. Talk about stuff that inspires you, that motivates you, gets you out of bed. Fill your life with motivation. This is not just a motivational talk. This is spiritual living. It's spiritual living. So, dreams inspire you, okay? Desires motivate you. And destiny gives you destination. Destiny gives you destination. Read this, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. Commit your what to the Lord? Way. Talks about, what is it we're talking about now? Commit your way. We're on a journey. Commit your way. Commit your direction. Commit where you're going to the Lord. Destiny is about direction. It's about going to somewhere. Now, when we used to plant lots of churches, so we started planting in Crawley, and then we wanted to plant in another town down the road. So in church land, what you do when you go to a town, you go and you meet all the pastors. They all sit there and they all look miserable. It's every Thursday, once a month, the pastors get together and look miserable. It's called a fraternal. I used to hate them. So anyway, they invited me in and they're all trying to be really nice because I'm the new kid that's about to invade their town. So I'm sitting on this chair and they said, Dave, Reverend Dave. I mean, I have to look, check who they're talking to. Reverend Dave, could you tell us what your vision is? So it's very simple. My vision is world domination. That's exactly what they did. World domination. And they looked at me and said, would you like to be a bit more elaborate? Could you elaborate on that? Genesis 1:28, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. No, that's Matthew 28. Genesis 1 says this, God blessed them and told them to what? Rule and subdue or reign. What is your mandate? Rule and reign. And so the vision is very simple. The vision is world domination. His world dominating this world. And the minute you make your vision smaller than that, you're not agreeing with God. So as you can imagine, these pastors were very overjoyed for us to be in their town. We told them we weren't another flavor of supermarket and they didn't have to worry. Isn't it amazing how people get threatened when you've got a bigger vision? Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Hang around those people long enough and your vision will reduce in size to their size. So destiny gives us the destination for life. So let's go for it again. Dreams gives you the what? Inspiration. Let's say that again. Dreams gives you the what? So if you're not feeling inspired, you need to go and dream. Dream. Dreams are wonderful things. Anyone heard of Apple computers? Apple computers have a room dedicated. It's a room that's half the size of this auditorium, and it's one big whiteboard. And all the employees are given 2 hours every month, and they have to go into the dream room, and they have to write the biggest dreams they can think of on the board for Apple. They come up with these great ideas. How many dreams do you think it took to birth the iPod? ¥9,435 dreams later got the iPod. But they kept dreaming and they kept dreaming and they kept dreaming until the right dream turned them into multi-billionaires. The trouble is we stop at dream one. How many of you think that you're going to dream the best dream, God's dream, first time? You're nuts. Keep dreaming until you hit gold. Why? Because if we heard God that clearly, we'd never make mistakes. But we do make mistakes. So keep dreaming. Dreaming brings inspiration. Desire brings what? Motivation. Let me read the scripture, Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Destination. Great, great quote. Someone says, if you're not living for your cause, then you're living for someone else's cause. But everyone's living for a cause. And the reality is God has a cause for you to live for. First and foremost, it's the kingdom. Secondly, it's the kingdom where you are. Isn't that awesome? I walked into my first place of employment here in South Africa, and I really said, God, I have a dream that every person in this place is going to give their lives to Christ. The day I left, every person in that place had given their lives to Christ. It starts with a dream. Isn't that wonderful? Ha, that's exciting. All right, moving on. Anyone heard of Abe, as in Abraham? Okay, Genesis 12:1. God told him, leave your country behind you and your own people. Go to a land I will guide you. If you do, I will cause you to become the father of great nations. I will bless you and make your name famous, and you will be a blessing to many nations. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and the entire world will be blessed because of you. Who would like that? Yeah, come on. Who would like that? All right. Good. Matthew, can you come and help me up here, bud, please? Good. It's a horrible being a pastor's kid because you always get picked on. I'd like you to put this on for me, please. Well done, son. Yeah, until you get them home. Wonderful. So he says, Abraham, here's your vision. I want you to go into a land. I want you to be a blessing to all the people. I want you to have tons and tons and tons and tons of kids. In fact, as numerous as the stars in the sky. And oh, by the way, you're childless. So this kind of looks a little bit like this. Do you think that this vision fits him? No. Should we wait until he gets big enough for the vision before we give him the vision? So what is God doing here? God's giving Abraham a vision that doesn't fit him now. Is that right? But some of you aren't happy walking around talking about a vision that doesn't look good on you now. So what do? You take it off hoping that you'll be able to pick it up when you are big enough. Stop it. God gave you a vision now for you to grow into the vision. So God gave me a vision when I was 12 about a 1,000-seater church that looked like a pub. It was wildly too big for me. But I still remember it today. Isn't that awesome? Now I want a whole chain of pubs. Would you mind just standing there for a second? How many of you have been given a vision that didn't suit you at the time? Put your hands up. How many of you put that vision down because you got embarrassed telling people about it? Yeah? Tonight, we're going to have pick up the vision time. Okay? And we're going to put the vision back on. So what did Abraham have to do? A couple of things that Abraham had to do. You can go grab a seat, but you're going to come back again for me now. All right. Okay. Every dream requires a step of faith. So what did Abraham have to do? He had to what? He had to step out and move forward. Okay? So if you've got a dream or you've got a vision, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to do something about it. God will might give you the vision, but he certainly ain't going to move your feet to do it. So he's going to give you a 1,000-seater auditorium. You've got to go and see the estate agent. So stop waiting for God to do all the work for you. It ain't as often much fun. He pulls Abraham. I mean, did you know in heaven, him and Gabriel having a great laugh over you lot? Just relax. You can't make a mistake in God's kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Because all things work together for good to those that love God. So every step requires a step of faith. Every dream is confirmed by a promise. Every dream is confirmed by a promise. Every dream requires declaring before. So how stupid, you know the story. Abraham hasn't got any kids, and yet he's got to walk around saying, "Hi, I'm the father of nations." It's like me walking around going, "Hi, I own a Harley Davidson because I've got a t-shirt." You tell your kids not to hang around people like me, don't you? But that's precisely what God tells you to do. Tell people what he's promised you. Tell them. Tell them. You know, they say if you want to lose weight, tell people you want to lose weight. Because they'll hold you to account. I don't want to lose weight, by the way. I'm perfectly happy with my size, by the way. Just letting you know. Genesis 17:5. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of nations. So God wants to change your name. God wants to change some of your names tonight. How many of you want for a name change? I call you guys mighty men of God because you're mighty men of God. I also can't remember your name. But I want you to feel that you are mighty women and men of God. Because you are. I'm just being honest about it. How about this one? Every dream will have a time of testing. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Okay, so Hagar and Sarah, you know the story? So how many of you are living with Hagar right now? Wishing you hung out for Sarah. I know some guys who've just been called to lead worship and they've ended up becoming jazz musicians. It's cool being a jazz musician, but it's cooler leading worship. I know people that have been called to be jazz musicians and ended up leading worship. Then it's cooler to be a jazz musician than it is to be called a worshiper. But how many today, right now, are sitting with Hagar when you actually really know in the guts that there's a Sarah there? Because we just couldn't wait long enough. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? So we've got this tension. Push into what God has told you, but also wait. Push and wait. Push. How does that work? Stay confused. It's the way God wants you to be. Every dream has a potential counterfeit. Every dream is a potential counterfeit. Every dream has a potential counterfeit. I know people have felt God's calling to go and plant a church, but they never waited for the right time. So they went and planted the church, and they battled for 15, 20 years with 5 people. Just be cool about it. Be passionate. Be on fire. Push the doors. Ask God. But be led by your heart. And don't settle for Hagar. How are we doing? Some dreams. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Okay, so how are we going to guard our hearts? I love the thing about Joseph, by the way. You know Joseph gets this dream. What's the first thing Joseph does? Goes and blags his mouth off, doesn't he? goes and tells all his brothers that he's going to be the ruler of the nation. They're going to come and bow down before him. How many of you would like your brothers, your friends to come and say that to you? So some of us have lost our dreams because we've just told everybody too soon. Oh, but Dave, you just told me that I need to change my name and tell everyone about my dream. It's confusing, isn't it? But you need to remember, right at the very beginning, we framed this with these words, guard your heart for it's the wellspring of life. So if you're guarding your heart, you're asking yourself the question every time, is this the right person? Am I safe to tell this person? That's the question you're asking. Am I safe to tell this person? Because if you don't feel safe, don't tell them. Be wise. But when you find the right person, tell them everything. Tell them to hold you to account. Tell them to phone you every day and email you and say, don't forget the dream. You love that? Joseph is a great example of someone who just should have kept his mouth shut. But the glorious thing is, all things work out together for good, right? So relax, you can't make a mistake. I don't know what your theology is on the sovereignty of God, but it certainly ain't a tightrope where you've got to walk this one thing, and if you get it wrong, you're going to fall off to doom. Let me just tell you, that is a load of rubbish. Because God loves you. I don't tell my kids, you've got one direction in life. If you go there and you don't get it right, you've missed it forever. I tell my kids, go try it all. And we'll find together what's the right path. But dream. Dream. Think big. There's nothing makes my heart more alive than my kids. When you ask Joshua what he wants to be, I want to be the best guitarist in the whole planet, Dad. Dream. What do you think that does to God? How many of you would like to see this church far too small too quickly? Far too soon. You just keep telling people about what happens here, Sunday morning and Sunday night, and it'll be far too quickly, far too full, too quick. You know, dream some more. Every time I see Steve, tell him, I dream about having Highway Community Church all over KZN. How about that? So lastly, let's just wrap this thing up and then we're going to pray for some people and then we're going to go home. So guarding your heart, what does it mean? Guard who you share your dream with. There are dream stealers out there. Do you know that? Okay, dream stealers. Some of them say this. The alarmists say, can't do that, it's not safe. Anyone heard that one? Can't do that, it's not safe. The traditionalists will say, it's not the way we do it. Anyone ever had that? Oh, it's not the way we do it around here. Well, how's that working out for you? I've been to loads of churches where we get invited to play, and then we start playing, and then they go, no, we don't do it like that. And I say, well, why did you invite us in? That's kind of stupid, isn't it? We don't get invited back often, by the way. The defeatist says, it's not possible. Anyone had that? Oh, it's not possible. Well, I don't know about you, but that just makes you want to go and do it even more. Especially when you're playing the music on the stage and you can see people whinging to the sound man that it's too loud. Do you know what that one you want to do? Turn it up. And then Steve takes me out for coffee on Monday. The antagonist says, Tuesday, yeah. If it's really bad, it's Monday. The antagonist says, I won't let you. Anyone had that? Anyone been married to someone who said that? I won't let you? So we've got the alarmist who says, it's demi. It's not safe. It's not the way we do it. It's not possible. I won't let you. Dream stealers. But the wonderful thing is that God is faithful and he gets his way. He gets his way. The best people to share your dream with are people with dreams of their own. Share dreams with people with dreams of their own. In fact, let me just say this. If you find someone who doesn't have a dream, they're a bloodsucker. They're an energy sucker. Steve and I were talking about diaries and I was saying that I have this code. I have green, amber and red in my diary. And in any given day, I have 4 greens, 2 ambers, and 1 red. Red are life suckers. You spend 1 minute with them, and you feel like the blood's being sucked out of your body. You need to lie down after 5 minutes. You get that? Anyone know what I'm talking about? You know, you've had a chat with them, and then you need a holiday. Yeah? And there are people on the planet like that. And lots of them. Most of them are engineers. So what I do is I have 4 greens, 2 ambers. Ambers are those people who are kind of neutral. You know, you're happy when you go there, and you're still kind of happy when you leave. Neutral. And then there are the green guys. The green guys, you go in, they're moderately happy, and you leave like ecstatic. Woohoo! Okay? So 4 greens, 2 ambers, 1 red. 4 greens, 2 ambers, 1 red. Guard your heart. Guys, why am I telling this? Settle down, kids. Settle down. We'll talk about the boats later. Guard your heart. Your heart is the life of you. Are you getting this? It's the life of you. If you don't guard your heart, you'll be a miserable fart for the rest of your life. A miserable person for the rest of your life. You will. Guard your heart. But it's spiritual. It's the most spiritual thing you can do. Is guard your heart. Write in your diary, only see this person once a year. Write it in. Find 4 people that are green. Marry them if you like, but spend time with them. Make them people that inspire you. Why? Because God can't use somebody who's tired, worn out, can't put a smile on their face. That doesn't bring glory to God, does it? Hey, certainly kills your dreams. Feed your dreams. Like anything, if you don't feed it, it will die. Get around people and places that stir up the passion and desire in you. Go on a fact-finding mission. Love the story of Nehemiah. I could preach that one for a long while. Gets his dream to rebuild the walls, and he goes on a fact-finding mission, and it's just a wonderful story how you unpack a dream and you bring it into reality. So, this is another thing that we have called fear. Someone said it before, fear stops us having a dream. Anyone had a dream to jump out an aeroplane? Anyone had that dream? You're all mad. Who would want to jump out of a perfectly good aeroplane? Just mad. Anyway, with a parachute, yeah, that's always helpful. Let me say this to you. If your dream doesn't make you really, really scared, wet yourself scared. If your dream doesn't make you wet yourself scared, it ain't a dream. It's just a goal. If a dream doesn't make you wet yourself, then it's not a dream, it's a goal. Because a dream is something that is totally nuts. Now we're talking God's language. See, you don't need God unless it's impossible. So if most of your life is spent with the realm of possibility, what the heck do you need God for? True? So what are you going to do tomorrow that's impossible? Well, you've got to start somewhere, haven't you, Steve? I mean, the bar might be a bit low, but God bless you. God bless you. That's a man you need to encourage, ladies and gentlemen, right there. So, do something impossible. Believe for something impossible. It's the beginning of a dream. So, fear is part and parcel of a dream. If you're afraid, it's good. That's good. It's good that you're afraid. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Be afraid. There's this other fear, which I want to address, and then with this I'll shut up. It's this thing. It says this. I'm afraid of failing. Anyone afraid of failing? Rick Warren said this. If you had all the money in the world and all the time to do it, what would you attempt? If you had all the money in the world, all the time, and you knew you couldn't fail, what would you attempt? All the money in the world, all the time, and you knew you couldn't fail, what would you attempt? You have all the money in the world. The old version of that was, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I never knew what that had to do with money, but apparently it is something to do with money. So he owns all the wealth. And as we heard this morning, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Then he says that all things work together for good to those that love God. That sounds a lot like you can't fail. All things work together for good. The trouble is, stand up for me, Matt. Can you stand on the chair for me there, Matt? The trouble is, for some of us, the dream right now is so big that it just doesn't look right on you. And so the chance of failure is almost 100%. But here's the thing. God's not asking you to do all of those things right now. He's just asking you to believe that you can do all those things. And there is going to be a lot of bumping your head and failures and a lot of heartache and a lot of stuff that will happen. And all of that is good. And God won't protect you from that because you need that to grow up. Because one day, that is going to look good in him. Well, maybe not him, but... Do you know what I mean? It looks great on Trevor, don't you think? Trevor, come stand out here for me. Matt, come stand here for me. Because this is exactly a picture of a promise and a reality. Just work with me. Take that off for me. God gives the promise. He works through the promise. Until one day, it doesn't look ridiculous anymore. In fact, it looks like it was made to fit. You ever met people who do something you think they were just made for that? Yeah? Your dreams and your promises may look ridiculous right now, but they were made for you. Give these guys a round of applause. They've been very good. Well done. You can go sit down now. So, tonight, we're going to pray for some people, and then you all can go home. Three things. Dreams gives you the what? Inspiration. Desire gives you the what? Motivation. And destiny gives you the destination. So, three people. Dreams, desire, destiny. So, we're going to resurrect some dreams tonight. We're going to stir up some desire. And we're going to set some people into their destiny. Won't you stand with me? Okay, we're going to be brutally honest. Happy to be honest? What's the worst that can happen? Worst that can happen is you go out the same. Best that can happen is you go out changed. Okay, you happy to be honest with me? All right, those of you in this room right now that have had big dreams, but you got so embarrassed about them, that you've just hid them behind a door, or you've buried them, or you've stopped talking about them. Why don't you put both hands up in the air for me? Well, I guess we all have, I guess, at some point, I don't know. All right, just lift your hands. Father, we just acknowledge the fact that there are dreams that are dead and buried among us, and we believe that nothing gets wasted in the kingdom. Everything is for a purpose. Everything happens. All things will work together for good. Father, in the name of Jesus, every person with their hands held high, I speak resurrection life back into those dreams in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, the feelings they felt when they first talked about them, the colors, the vividness of them, those pictures that they had when they were dreaming about those things, I bring it back to their remembrance right now. We stir back those passions in their heart that the enemy's come and stolen from them in the name of Jesus, Father. Words that have been spoken over them, we break and tear down in the name of Jesus. I want you just to say after me with your hands up, I choose today to believe in the God that gave me the dream. I choose today to walk in its reality, not my present reality, but its reality in the name of Jesus. Right now. Wonderful. Put your hands down. There's some guys in this place who are just totally paralyzed with the fear of failure. You just feel like, I've tried so many times to do something and I keep failing. You feel like you're in a cycle of failure. Put your hand up for me today if that's you. Good. One, two, three. All right, come out to the front. We're going to lay hands on you. There you go. That'll teach you being honest, won't it? Come stand in front because it's brave to do this. Because you know why? Because you've got to stand in front of everyone and say, look, I'm scared of failing. That sucks. All right, and the rest of you people who are obviously not scared of failing ever, I want you to stretch out your hands to these people. And Steve, can you just get some guys to come and lay hands? Choose some guys. You won't fail, I promise. You're going to be okay. I'm trying to work with me. Some guys, come and just lay your hands on them, because we're going to pray for these people right now. We're going to pray that they're going to go out and we're going to break the cycle of failure. How's that? Break the cycle of failure. All right, let's lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, every people, come on, stretch out your hands. If you don't know what to say, speak in tongues with us. We're going to participate in this, okay? Come on, guys, I want to hear a buzz at the back there. Raise some volume. We're going to pray. Let these guys feel the weight of your encouragement. This is a tough thing to do right now. We're going to pray for them. So, guys, these people in the front, Father, they've stepped out the front, and they've done it without emotion, no organ playing, no emotion. Father, they stepped out, they said, I'm scared of failing. So Jesus, we thank you that this is the step of faith sometimes we've been waiting for. So we break off them right now, chains that tell them they're going to fail. We break off negative words right now. I stamp out every work of the enemy. I take captive every thought that has been placed in your mind. We remove every negative thought. And now, in the name of Jesus, we cast out every imagination, every thought that does not set itself up to the power of God right now. We pray, Father, that there would be power and strength and confidence back into them. I speak confidence back into them right now. Confidence, Lord. We pray confidence over them. Confidence, Father. Confidence, Father. Right now, you will not be a failure. You are not a failure. You will and have never been a failure. We speak confidence over you right now in the name of Jesus. You have not and will not and have not disappointed God. You are a chosen, wonderful, glorious, mighty man and woman of God who has dreams and destinies. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. God won't let you fail. He won't let you fail. He loves you too much. He won't let you fail. He won't let you fail. Whoa. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory, come. So, Father, just the rest of us lift our hands. We're going to wind this thing up, but we're going to keep your hands. Stay in the front, guys. This is just fun. Father, you want to stir up dreams, pictures, desires. Dreams, pictures, desires. Right now, the downloads. Let the downloads come. If you sat in the back of this church counting how many chairs there are, stop it. God's going to give you a bigger dream right now. Whoa, God, you can't fail. It's a dream. Come on, think. What is it that you believe you're created for? It's bigger than X Factor. Jesus, downloads. That's right, receive downloads right now. You're going to remember this date. This was the day I got my download from God. Some of you need to put on that coat that looks totally ridiculous on you right now. Put it on and wear it with pride. Wear it with pride. Wear it with pride. Abraham, father of the nations who couldn't have kids. Joseph, prince of the region who was locked in prison. Jesus, a carpenter who changed the world. Paul, who hated Christians, became the apostle for the Greek church. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. Father, thank you for tonight. Every good and present gift comes from you. You've loved us. You always love us. You blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So tonight, let this be the beginning of something truly awesome in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give him a round of applause. Give Jesus a big round of applause. Amen. Good night. God bless you.